All right, Eric. I mean, Eric.
Close enough. I'll take it.
I'll just call you E.
He's a little bit more redhead than me.
All right.
Two genders I like.
Amen.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all enjoying that 57 degrees this morning?
Yeah, gumbo weather.
Oh, you're right.
I'm going to love it when I can actually breathe and take it in. I was sick last week, and now I'm recovering and having a little sinus issue, but I certainly will take the weather change for sure.
Amen.
We in Acts 21 this morning, but before we do that, we're going to lead off in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for knitting us together, Lord. Thank you for putting the stars in the sky. We thank you for the seasons, especially this season, Lord. We thank you for your word that you've left for us, Lord. We thank you that you've done everything you could to bring it from the beginning to the end and letting us know that we'll play a hand in that, Lord. That we're created on purpose, for a purpose, Lord. We're created in a time for as it is now. I ask that your words come through me, Lord, that I put your spirit ahead of myself, Lord, and let these men not get information, but transformation, so they can be closer to your will and your glory. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
All right. Acts 21. We're still following Paul along on his third and final journey. In all honesty and transparent testimony, last couple of weeks I've been off, y'all. I hadn't really been, my spirit hadn't been strong. I guess I've been a lot in my flesh. So studying chapter 21, honestly, the last couple of weeks, I haven't gotten anything out of it. And thank God we serve a God that he does show up every time. So as I woke up this morning with absolutely nothing for you guys, that's the perfect position to be in. So I brought to y'all absolutely nothing. And so many times we think that that's the wrong posture to have when that's actually the best posture to have.
It's going to be bankrupt.
Absolutely bankrupt. Sometimes we're on a spiritual high or just a circumstantial high of our life, so we start feeling a little bit better about ourselves, and we think we're like, you know, bringing something to the table, when in reality, a lot of times, you just live in God's grace, and you might be on what you would so-called a mountaintop just because life is easy. But I'm so grateful for the Bible, and I'm so grateful for the stories of people like Paul, because after reading Acts 21 over and over and over again and getting nothing, in my prayer time this morning, it kind of all started coming together what exactly it was that he wanted me to say. Because now, when you read it in the flesh or just for the service, it's just a bunch of names, a bunch of places that Paul's going, and basically everyone's telling Paul, don't do it. This is not going to be good for you. It's not going to end well. It's going to be painful. Don't do it. That's what people were telling them. Every stop along the way, the consensus was don't do it. Don't go there. You will be bound. You will be tortured. It's not going to be good. And in that moment, it kind of caught me, and I was brought to, out of all the the scriptures, it was 13, after they had said, even prophesied over him and told him what was going to happen, which was not good, right? After he was prophesied and told that basically if he went, he would be bound, then Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of our Lord Jesus." Now listen, guys. We can say we all in. We can say we have faith. But that's a whole nother level, y'all. We can say less of me, more of you. We can say I surrendered my life to Christ. But this is living it. This is accepting it. This is doing it. And when I read that one last time this morning, it just put me on a track to just start seeing everything that I've felt for the last couple of weeks in a whole different perspective. I'd also want to start off by apologizing to my son and my daughter and my wife, my friends, everybody around me for the last couple of weeks, because I have not been the man that I know God created me to be. I saw the worst in everybody. I haven't been patient. I haven't been as loving. Because somewhere along the way, I grabbed the steering wheel. And when I gave my life to Christ 12 years ago, he began to do a work in me and give me a life, y'all, that is way beyond me. Like, I can't bear the weight of it. Like, my God has given me a life where I'm responsible, or sometimes I think I'm surprised. I'm responsible for 2 children, a wife, a company, 6 employees. That I'm a only child from New Iberia that grew up being average. I was excellent at being average. I was no leader. I was no one you're gonna follow. And I wake up 12 years later and I feel like, what in the world? When I'm in my flesh and I'm Eddie Buto and not the Son of God, I'm like, this is too much for me to bear. Like, I can't take this. This is too many people are relying on me. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. I'm failing as a leader. Like, poor pitiful me, I gotta deal with this. That has been the thought processes and the mindset that I've been having over the last couple of weeks. And then this morning, in this revelation from Paul, this man is literally taking on a weight, knowing that his responsibility and job is to just go and spread the word of Christ, even at the threat and then the actuality of it happening, death. And I'm like, maybe the weight on me ain't so hard, you know? Like, that's not nearly the weight that I'm carrying every day, or I'm thinking about carrying every day. But I'm like, wow. If I realize that my life is not my own, and everything that I truly believe that God has brought to me is his, and all my job is to be is a good steward to them, man, that's a whole lot. That's a lot freeing. It takes the weight off. Remembering that He brought it to you. It's His will, then it's His bill, right? He's gonna take care of it, not me. So I don't have to worry about being the perfect father or the perfect husband. All I gotta do is spend more time with my Father. He's gonna strengthen me. He's gonna give me what it is that I need, and He's gonna tell me what it is that I need to do. Because that's how I got to the place where I am. I didn't wake up one day and have all this. It was a process of following His will and being amazed by time. I never deserved it to start with, so I'm not gonna have to start deserving it, right? But then this morning in that, He brought me to Philippians 4:9, where it says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. And I realized in that moment, whenever I started feeling the weight of everything, I wasn't going back to the Father to give it back to Him and to spend my time with Him and be fueled back up so that I can do the thing that it is that He called me to do. I was doing it in my own strength, which is not nearly good enough. But in His, it is. I want you guys to know that when we say, you know, get up in the morning, give the first of your day to Him, be in prayer, be in your word, it sounds like works. It sounds like checking the boxes. But what we got to realize, y'all, is I was telling my son this on the ride here. It's like my gas tank. Gas light's on right now on the way here. I can know I need gas. I can believe I need gas. I can know the gas station has gas. But if I don't stop and go to the gas station and fill myself up, I can want to be full all I want, but my tank's not going to get full. And that's exactly what happened, is that I know the steps, I know the process, but as my life started getting more and more chaotic and hectic and heavy, instead of pausing and spending the time with the Father so He can get me back on track, I don't have time. I don't have time to put the gas. Keep going. So what you end up doing? You run out. But how good of a Father we have, that no matter how long we go without it, no matter how long we don't do what it is that He wants us to do, the second we pause and put our focus back on Him, in a moment this morning, everything that seemed unbearable, unbelievable, just a weight, became so clear. And so, this morning, I want to tell y'all guys, we keep saying we want peace, we want the fruits. But if we don't get to the root, we're unable to produce fruit. And the things that we produce are the things that I very much said over the last couple of weeks, I feel like I've extended to my family, which was not giving them peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If I look at all those things, that the fruit of the Spirit, that's what I've been lacking for the last couple of weeks. And I want you guys to know that He is the only way to have those things. Much like Paul was going from town to town, and these people that could have been wisdom, could have been, you know, something that could have added to him. He went, he spent time with them, but in the end, he stood fast to the one thing, which was what God told him to do. And so guess what happened? Those people went from telling him, "You're wrong, Paul, don't do this." When he persisted in his faith and leaned in on God above all, before he left each place, they went from telling him, "Don't do," to saying, "Oh, well then let me pray for you as you go. Because they went from not believing to, I would imagine, because of his persistence and putting God above them and God above himself, they turned, they're like, "Well, this something, you know, he must know something we don't know." And so it even changed and grew their faith, even though they didn't understand. So even whenever it's not logical, and you know God's telling you, forgive that person, to be patient with that person, or whatever God's telling you. But if you're not stopping long enough and spending the time with them, all you're going to do is hear the voices of others, or even worse, yourself. And that's what I've been dealing with the last couple of weeks. Not really outside voices that have been telling me wrong. Myself. All my focus has been is on what I don't want, or what's happening that I don't like, or the negative. What does the Bible tell us to focus on? What is true, what is right, what is pure, what is honorable, what is excellent, what is lovely, what is worthy, what is admirable. When we find ourselves off track and our mindsets on like stinking thinking, these are the things that we got to key in on. Because when we start writing the list of all the things that we're unsatisfied with, or we would like to change, or it's, we're putting it on our perspective, and you start focusing on God and the things that he did bring to you, or that he did call you to, then that should be your focus above all. Then you got the power to even bear the cross, as we all will in one way or another.
Absolutely.
Not making it about ourselves, but of making it about him. When Paul got there, they began to everything, stone him, flock him. I mean, it was not good. And in that moment, again, this morning, I put myself in that perspective of like, even when it gets hard, what we got to lean on is the truth. There can only be one truth. You know, we always say, well, there's three sides of the story, you know. The one side that is actually is the truth is God's side. Whether it's Joe's perspective or my perspective, we both wrong. We got to submit ourselves to the one truth, and it's him. The Alpha, the Omega, he's seen it all. So no matter what you're going through, where you at, how dark it is, if he says he's going to make all things work for your good, we have to have faith and believe that. But I'm going to tell you, I don't know if I sit at this point with the faith that Paul had, that when the first stone got thrown, this can't work for my good. I must have misread that or something, you know? But even to the end, and here we are over 2,000 years later telling this story in this room in America like it happened yesterday. That's the glory that he got to partake in that moment, by not worrying about himself and putting God first in it. when they started stoning him and they started doing all these things to him, I thought whenever he said, let me speak, he would have been doing something to defend himself. And he never did. He was defending Christ.
Amen.
And he was saying, this is not about me. This is not about whether I'm worthy, whether I'm a citizen of this place or this place. I love when we're a citizen of something bigger than this. It doesn't matter where we are. He's a citizen of the kingdom. And he wanted them to know, I'm you guys. I'm a Jew just like you. I learned all the same things you learned. I practiced all the same things you practiced. But when I had the encounter with Jesus, no longer was the laws and the creeds and all the things that we've been preaching above that. There was one thing above it, Christ. So I'm sorry I don't have a lot for y'all today. Honestly, the fact that I even got up here, I almost called Jeremy, like, brother, you're going to have to take this one. I don't have it in me. But one thing I promised myself along the process was that I was going to be completely transparent and not take the opportunity to get up here and speak as something that I'm better than anybody or I got to put on a mask or a shirt to y'all. The last couple of weeks been really humbling because prior to that I felt like I was a really, really good place. And it's just a reminder that it's a daily battle. We're never going to arrive. And the very things that got you to that point where you thought you were on top, that's the very steps it takes every single day, and you'll never need that any less. And it was an absolute reminder this morning that my time with God this morning was so fulfilling. If you guys are not doing it, and because you're saying your schedule's too busy or whatever it is, I challenge you and I promise you, you'll never outgive God.
Absolutely.
If you give him that time and silence yourself, silence your worries, your concerns, he's going to meet you there. And I tell you, bankrupt, empty, and less of you is the best way you can move forward. Because then you can be the man that it is that he created you to be, because you let him lead you in that way. So I thank you guys. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving all of yourself to us, even when we don't give the same. I thank you that you're worthy. I thank you that your word stands, even when we can't. I ask that these men go forward today with your presence and to remember that you are our leader. You are our provider. You are our Father. Give us the strength to go forward and fulfill your will, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Before you let go, always remember that the Father God engulfs us when we praise him, when we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. He wraps us up and makes us one with him in his spirit and his truth.
that you've been called to, like Paul's vision of who he was, to bring the gospel to all the world, no matter what it was going to cost him, because he's already been resurrected into the presence of God. And it begins with the praise. So when you feel that emptiness, I can't do it, I don't get it, I'm mad at everybody, and that begins to be the battle in your mind between your flesh and your spirit, that praise is going to lift you beyond this world into the presence of God. And you're going to be in awe of everything and won't be able to say anything but holy. Holy is the Lord. So in you and through you and with you, you have been called for such a time as this. You are the chosen generation. You are the person with the voice of God. So when you're being challenged by that, know, absolutely know, that your emptiness is actually not where you're supposed to be, full of the Spirit, when you let go of that emptiness and get into the Word. So in yourself, you can't do it. And that's what you're trying to do. You're responsible for everybody, and you're feeling that weight, and you're standing on the foundation that says, yes, I am the child of God. Yes, I am the chosen. Yes. Yes, Lord, not me, you. That's what Paul said.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.